What is up, you beautiful cycling people? Thank you so much for listening to another episode. This one's pretty fun, and we get into some really good stuff on this episode with Ryry, or Ryan Drummond, as he is known at this point in his adult life, not the bunny hop wizard that we all in Oklahoma City have known him by for many, many years. But sitting down with Ryan was super fun. I went to Bentonville to ride, and the Drummond family is just an amazing group of people, and I absolutely love them. They're one of my favorite families, seriously, that I've ever met. And I know we've done an episode with Chris, and if you have not listened to that, please go back and listen to it. He's a national champion, and I don't even know how many times state champion in Oklahoma, works for Ally, does some really cool stuff. Vanessa, Mama Drummond, she works for USA Cycling, is doing incredible things, is really plugged in on the inside scoop of everything and the inside grassroots of all the things that are going on in cycling and in Bentonville and youth development, those kinds of things. Aubrey is out racing pro women's racing all over the U.S. and actually has gone to Europe recently. And we will hopefully have an episode with Aubrey coming really, really soon. I just got to get back out to Bentonville and sit down and do that before she gets too busy with her race schedule. So I know that's coming fast. So, but Ryan, we sit down. Ryan is 17. Man, he is an up and comer when it comes to crushing souls, and especially in this part of the country and probably everywhere in the U.S. Ryan, I knew Ryan since he was a little bitty guy, just trolling around at the Tour de Dirt races, bunny hopping on everything, jumping on everything, bouncing off of all the rocks on his bike. And we were just like, what the heck? This kid's like 10 years old, and I don't even have a clue what kind of skills he has. Well, Ryan has grown up into a big young man, and those skills now have a lot of power behind them. So it is going to be extremely exciting to watch what he continues to do. He wants to be a professional, and I think the sky's the limit for him and everyone in his family. So this was his first podcast. This was his first version of doing anything like this. So it was really cool to be able to sit down with him and talk to him and just kind of hear how his goals are developing and how he's going to chase those goals. He got to go to Europe recently this winter and race cyclocross. So we really get into the differences in racing in Europe compared to the US and the style of racing and the cool things that he got to see over there. So it was really, really, really fun to sit down with Ryan. So I hope you enjoy this episode. If you have any suggestions or recommendations, please let me know. We have some great episodes lined up. The next couple are going to blow your socks off. We're recording them this next week. So they will all be loaded up and ready to rock through March. You're going to be super pumped about the episodes we have. Next episode, we'll also have an announcement with the next progression of Cycling Oklahoma. I hope it will be an amazing resource for our community, and I will be open for any feedback and suggestions once this project launches for ways that we can make it better and serve our local cycling community in Oklahoma better and give more resources to get people on bikes and get them out exploring the world on two wheels and enjoying what our amazing state has to offer. So please look for that. Please tune in for the next episode. And the next episode, we'll have a special guest. Like, when I say a special guest, I mean like a real special guest, because it will be conversations that we normally do with Dumb and Dumber, me and Alan. And but we're bringing in a special guest for that episode. And so if you have any suggestions, any topics or anything that you want to hear three fools ramble about, please send me a DM. Slide into the DMs. Let me know what you want to hear. Or if you want us to make fun of you or anybody in your group that we need to talk trash on, we are open to suggestions and topics. So this episode, just like all of our previous episodes, is brought to you by More Overhead Door, amazing company. They are supporting us. They are the ones that are really allowing us to do these extra things by being able to sit down and record remote podcasts, record with multiple guests, and to be able to launch this next project. The sponsorship dollars that they do give, we are putting right back into the cycling community. That is not going into my pocket in any way, shape, or form. It is going to grow our community and develop this amazing sport that we do and to help people get out and play bikes. So, More Overhead Door, I cannot thank you enough. If you have any garage door needs, you're building a new house, you need repairs, your door just sucks and you want a new one, please give these guys a call, because without them, we would not be doing what we're doing. And the projects that we have in the pipeline would not happen because I would not be able to flip the bill for him. So More Overhead Door, they're supporting us. Please support them. Phone number is 405-799-9214, 405-799-9214. You can Google them. More, just like the town, Overhead Door, they will take care of you. And please let them know that you heard it here, or you got their name or recommendation from the podcast, and that will help continue their support and know that their dollars are working for them. So greatly appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. Again, if you have any suggestions, any recommendations, I am all ears. Follow us on social, leave us a review on anywhere that you listen to this podcast, and hopefully this will continue to grow and we will reach out to more and more crazy folks that are out there exploring. And remember, be nice, go play bikes, and enjoy some life. All right, Rye Rye. This one's going to be good. We're going to get the whole family done before long. I didn't realize sister was in town, so maybe we'll get hers done soon too. But we're going to get the whole Drummond clan on the podcast at one point. Really, we need to have Mama Drummond on the podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be actually
a good story. She would probably have the most stories for sure.
Yeah, that would be good to have her take on.
She soaks a lot of the stuff in more than we do.
Yeah, it'd be good to have her take on the behind the scenes of a race and family.
Yeah.
We'll have to do that. Maybe we can do that whenever we do your sister's. So for those who don't know you, know Ryan Drummond, we're in Bentonville sitting here, and you just had an amazing experience in Europe, which we're going to get back to. Mm-hmm. But I want us to kind of go back. Like I said, when we started, or me and you were starting talking tonight, you have basically been on a bike forever.
Yeah.
Do you remember a time you weren't riding a bike?
Not really.
No. And you're how old now?
17.
17. Yeah. Is that junior?
Yep.
Man.
This is, yeah.
This is your junior year?
Yeah.
Okay. When did you start, like, when was your first race? Because I've seen some of your pictures that your dad posts, and they're hilarious.
Yeah. I really don't know what my first race was, but I know I was on training wheels. It was probably like a Tour de Dirt Kids Cup or something like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's awesome. The, when did you finally realize bicycles is kind of like my thing?
Probably when I was old enough to actually sign up in a category race at a mountain bike race. I've always liked racing and been a competitive person.
Was it always mountain biking?
Yeah, it was mountain biking. We didn't get into cross until I was a little bit older. So
then you never really have done road or crit stuff.
Yeah, just local stuff.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you're a crit state champion.
Yeah,
I just remembered that.
Uh-huh.
That was this year, right?
Yep.
Cat four.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
I wanted to do three, but couldn't get the upgrade points in time.
Yeah, good thing. Mm-hmm. Are you cat three now?
No.
Oh, how many more points do you?
I have no idea.
That didn't give. That probably didn't give a lot. You enough.
I don't know.
Well, if you cat up, it just gets harder.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to be in the cat three race or not. Mm-mm. Seems scary.
Yeah, just keep winning cat four until they make you go up. Yeah. So you guys started in Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. and that's kind of where you kind of started racing and getting into doing all the things. And then you guys moved to Tulsa. How old were you when you moved to Tulsa?
10 or 11, I think.
Okay. And then you guys were there for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years.
Four years, I think. Okay. And then moved to Bentonville.
Uh-huh.
How long have you guys been out here?
I think we're going into year number 4.
Already?
Yeah.
Dang.
3 or 4.
Wow. Do you like it out here?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm. It's especially in Oklahoma City, you really didn't have anybody to ride with.
Yeah, I had Michael Watkins, but we lived really far away, so we didn't get to ride.
Is he the kid in Tulsa?
He's in Colorado now.
He's in Colorado.
Yeah.
Who's the... He was long-haired, blonde kid. I think he was in Tulsa. And he was a cross guy. He would show up and do the mountain bike stuff, too. I think he's a little bit older than you. But I always remember there was always a couple of kids that were really fast at the Tour de Dirt stuff. But I cannot think of his name.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know.
I don't remember his name either. So whenever you start...
Oh, Tayton.
What is it?
Tayton Parker?
Yeah.
Is that you're talking about?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Whenever you started on your Tour de Dirt stuff in Oklahoma City, what did you start in the kids stuff or did you kind of jump in to the Cat 3?
I did the junior races probably for 2 years and then I jumped into Cat 3.
What, how old were you when you did Cat 3?
8 or 9 probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I do remember there. Before you guys left and I was really excited that we weren't in the same age group because it was getting close. Cause I was Cat 3 and I was like, ah, we're getting, he's like starting to catch me and I just cannot get beat by this like little kid for sure. So yeah, that would have sucked. I'm glad that you guys left before that happened or you catted up. I think you catted up before that was going to happen. I think that's what happened. You like the endurance stuff or the short stuff?
I like the short stuff. I like racing endurance, but I like racing shorter stuff.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Do you any short track stuff or just like the XC stuff?
There's not like a ton of short track racing like I go to. I'll probably do more this year, but mainly XC.
Yeah. And then once you got out here, you did some enduro or downhill kind of things.
Yeah, I did. I tried to do enduro right when I moved here, but I broke my arm and then my wrist. So I missed 2 seasons and then I finally got to it. And
from
I did.
Bike?
One was a bike accident and then one was playing basketball.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Let me ask you this. So has it always just been cycling or have you played other sports?
I played soccer a little bit when I was younger, but it was kind of just like to entertain me because mm-hmm. I wasn't riding my bike like a ton then because I was younger, but yeah, it's pretty much just been.
Yeah. Bike and racing. And the scooter.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I did ride scooters a lot.
Yeah. I remember seeing all the videos of that.
I like going to the skate park and stuff on my scooter.
You still do that?
Not as much. I crashed like a year and a half ago and hurt my knee pretty bad. And I was like,
that was the end.
I don't want to do this again.
Mm. What was like the best trick you could do on the scooter?
I wasn't that good. I could do like a double tail whip. That was probably the best I could do.
How many times did you just send that thing right into your shins?
I know that's like the main thing for scooters, but I really never did it.
Really?
If I knew I wasn't going to get my feet on, I kept it far away. So
when did you pick up the scooter? Cause I just remember seeing it on social.
A while ago. Like I remember I had a Razor scooter and me and my dad spray painted it to make it like look cooler. So I rode that for a while and then my parents could tell I started destroying it. So they got me like an actual scooter.
Yeah,
and then
okay.
That's when I actually started like going to the skate park and stuff.
Gotcha. And then when did you get into cross? Was that still when you were guys were in Oklahoma City or was it when you got into Tulsa?
It was when we were in Oklahoma City.
Okay. And then what made you get into that? Just thought it'd be something else fun to do.
Yeah. I think my dad just started racing it. So me and Aubrey just followed along.
Which one do you enjoy more, the mountain bike or this cross?
I like racing cross more.
Mm, why is that?
I don't know. It kind of sucks. It's really hard, but I just like find enjoyment, especially like every lap you have to like pick new lines. You have to race smarter. Like that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
Mountain bike, you kind of just go through everything once and then
you're done. Just kind of like we were talking with your sister before this started. Is it fun while you're doing it or is it just more fun when you're done?
It depends on the race. Like cross.
Because I feel like it's fun when I'm done.
I have a lot of fun when I'm racing cross, but like if I'm just having a terrible race, then it sucks. It's definitely one of those, like if you're flowing and like doing good, then it's fun. But if you're not, then it's not fun at all.
I mean, I kind of suck at it. So I think maybe that's why it's not as fun because it's like I'm riding as hard as I possibly can. I'm going so slow.
Yeah.
And I'm on the verge of like wrecking in every corner. It feels like I haven't done it in quite a few years. So now that I've spent more time on the mountain bike, I think it would be better, but it's just so hard.
You have to be dialed in for sure. And fitness has to be good or it's going to be really hard.
Like, yeah, the really high end fitness is not my favorite. Like that explosive anaerobic is not my favorite feeling in the world.
Yeah. If you can't stand at every turn, it's going to be rough.
Do you enjoy that feeling more than like, I'm just wiped out and exhausted feeling more? Do you know what I'm talking about? No. So like I enjoy kind of like a longer step, and I think it comes from because I started in this with multi-sport. So like doing like a hard zone 3, zone 4 for as long as I can possibly hold it. I enjoy that kind of like misery way more than like a really hard short climb.
Yeah. Where you get anaerobic. I don't think I enjoy the long.
You don't like the long steady state stuff?
afterwards, I'm like, that was a good effort. Like, I feel good about it. But in the moment, I'm just like, I get bored. And I'm like, I want this to be over.
Do you, when you guys moved to Tulsa, you were finally getting, you know, a little bit older and kind of developing a little bit more. Is that when you kind of realize, like, man, I'm actually like, I want to continue to push on this? Or was it still more of just like playing and fun?
It was like kind of both. I was like starting to get old enough to like actually be training, but I was also like at that age, I wasn't like pushing it super hard. I started training with Mark Taruki when we moved there, and he was really good about just like keeping it fun. Not like I would do like rides that would keep me in shape, but not like kill myself going and doing intervals. So
I like be an example of it. So you, cause you were, I mean, when you were like 12-ish or so, you were there.
Yeah.
Like that was right before you guys moved. Uh-huh. And were you working with a coach then?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. When did you start working with a coach?
Probably when I was like 13, okay. Like getting close to 14.
And what kind of like workouts was he giving you?
It was more just like, he would give me like ride, just go like play in the sand or like I would go ride with him. We'd do like hill repeats or like go do like a mile as hard as I could, stuff like that.
Gotcha. Cause I'm sure there's people that listen to this that have kids that, you know, the parents ride and so they want to get their kids riding or, and they don't really know how to get, cause you have to walk that fine line of like pushing the kid, but not pushing them too far.
Really like back then, like me and Malachi Jackson would go ride and we just like sprint each other the whole time. So like we were getting intervals in and we didn't even notice it.
And you're just having fun playing. You're just playing bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did it start getting structured?
Really this past year was my first like full year of structured training. Okay.
So everything really to this point has just been like, you need to go out and do a long day today, or you need to go like do some climbing today or that kind of stuff. Okay. How does a coach you with that kind of loose plan?
I think it was kind of just like more like me, like saying I had a coach, like he wasn't doing a ton, but he was definitely like keeping me going.
Yeah.
So it was just more like
accountability.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just like kind of getting me used to like the structured training stuff.
Gotcha. When did you start seeing like result? Cause whenever you were in Tulsa, you were kind of at that 12, 13 year old age group. What category were you like in cross and mountain biking at that point?
I was 3-4 for cross then.
Mm-hmm.
At a mountain bike, I was probably a 2.
2.
Yeah.
And then, are you 1 on the mountain bike now?
Yeah.
And then 1 on the cross?
Yeah.
Okay. When did you move up to a 1 on the mountain bike?
I think this past year moved up to 1 on both.
Once you were here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Going from the Oklahoma scene to Arkansas, what have you seen as being the biggest difference in the races?
They're not that much different. Like, the Oklahoma races are definitely a much bigger crowd, and there's
really?
Like, yeah, there's a lot more community that is there. Like it's
weird.
Built up more, and like people come out and watch. Here, it's kind of just like the families come, and only the kids that race will come and stuff.
I would have never thought that.
Yeah.
Is it because everybody out here is just tourists and the people just don't really race as much?
I think it just like XC isn't the biggest scene here. Like a lot of people ride, but not that many people actually go race. So it's like,
that's weird.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure.
But you guys have enduro race or downhill?
Enduro.
Enduro.
Yeah.
And, okay. For people that don't know, what's the difference between like XC and enduro?
So enduro is like you ride to each stage, which it's like here, like a 30-second to a minute stage. And you'll do like 10 stages of downhill trails and you're going as fast as you can down them. And they're timed, like just the downhill segment's timed, but you ride from stage to stage.
And they could be however far apart.
Yeah.
And it's just, do you have to just get there in a certain time frame, or is it just get there when you get there?
The races here is kind of just get there when you get there. Like I end up finishing most of the races like in 40 minutes to an hour because I just go ride it. But a lot of people like party and like wait at the top of each stage for like 10 minutes, which I can't do. I get too bored. So,
and they're just kind of there for, it's more of just like a fun thing. And
yeah,
I mean, I guess you could ride at the top and wait and get your breath back and get settled in and then just kind of
the more like the EWS, like Enduro World Series and stuff, like those races are a lot more challenging because they like climb up mountains and stuff. But yeah, here it's more just a party.
Yeah. I've watched a few of those. I watched the Pink Bike stuff on YouTube, which and the Pink Bike Academy and stuff.
That, I like
super
that.
Super cool. Like I don't know anything about that world, but it's super entertaining to watch.
Yeah, that show. My dad hates it, but
really?
Yeah,
why does he hate it?
He just thinks it's corny.
Ain't Frown Town. Why does he? Why do you have to, Drummond? Why do you have to hate things that are cool?
Pink Bike Academy.
But it's like in that kind of stuff, is it, do they have to be at the top in a certain time frame, or like why do they ride uphill so hard?
That I think it was just like more like
for the show,
entertainment. Yeah. Oh, okay. But they normally are just like cruising to the top, but
and then you get there.
I think those bigger races, there are time cutoffs and stuff.
I feel like enduro is like, it feels like a bunch of like bros that wanted to make it a race.
Yeah.
Where the downhill is like sketch.
Yeah.
Those courses are like
those
crazy.
Those guys are serious.
This like, freaking
you
crazy.
Crash on that and you're
it's
done.
It's bad. Yeah. But the enduro is like a bunch of bros get together and like, let's just see who's faster and like just going to go play around. Yeah. Uh-huh. Seems like a much more chill vibe.
Yeah. I liked it, but I like head-on-head racing a lot more. So
because you don't know who won. What are you doing here, puppers? Because you don't really know who won until like later, huh?
Yeah, which that's what sucks for me is like a lot of kids will just like cruise around, but I'll get it done super fast. So I'll like go home, take a shower, eat, come back, and they're like just now getting in.
Oh, so yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
They do a little enduro thing down at Medicine Park.
Uh-huh.
Every year. But I've never gone down there because I'm scared of that place.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to ride downhill.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a long time, but I don't remember great stories.
No, you need a downhill bike for that place because it's so rocky and chunky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nasty. As far as, so when you guys moved out here, how did that change your cycling?
So when we first moved here, I was like an enduro bro for sure. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to go out and do jumps. So I lost like a ton of my fitness from racing. And then we had been here for like a month and that was when I broke my arm.
Okay.
And I was off the bike for 3 to 4 months and I got back on. I did a full cross season and I was like, I was out of shape. I was just going, relying on my skill. And then I broke my wrist and I was off for like 2 to 3 months from that. And then once I got going from that is when I did my first enduro season.
Whenever you guys, since you've been here, have you fallen in love with the bike more because there's more of a community here? Like there's more kids your age that are race with, or is it just kind of like continued and it's just been fun just to slide into a community?
I mean, I definitely have found like, I like lost my racing spirit. I feel like when I got here, like my competitiveness, like I just like, when I broke my arm, I just like, I got kind of lazy and like, it was just kind of depressing. Like I just moved to Bentonville and I was off the bike for a year and a half pretty much.
Right.
So this past like year and a half, I've definitely like got back into racing and it's definitely helped me like start training and get motivated.
Is there a big group of kids that ride out here?
There is. It's like, it's not, no one really rides together that often. It's kind of like, it's really like spread apart.
That's weird.
Yeah. There's a lot of egos in Bentonville. So
no, that's true.
It makes it hard sometimes.
Yeah. Is it really competitive? Like within the kid group? Like under 18, I guess I would say.
It's like, you mean like our speeds against?
Well, like in your group, I mean, is there like a handful of kids that really push each other?
There's a good group. I would say like, there's like three different groups within that though.
Okay. Well, cause there's the teams out here, right?
Yeah.
Cause then, I mean, in Oklahoma, it's really like everybody, there's not really a team.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, really.
Yeah.
There's definitely not two. So there's no competitiveness there. Everybody's kind of like against each other.
Uh-huh.
But here you have several junior or development teams.
Yeah.
And so you got a little bit of separation there. Is that like good for the sport? Or do you feel like that's kind of like a little bit, you get a little bit of the roadie scene into the dirt scene that's not, takes away the spirit of the dirt.
The local races, you can definitely tell, like, they separate each other, which I've never been in that. I don't really care. I'll be friends with everybody. But
yeah,
you can definitely tell there's, like, some separation there. Mm,
it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Is there a handful of kids your age that really push each other?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Do you enjoy that or, like?
Yeah, I enjoy it sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it can, there's, the ego is getting in the way, like I said. But
is it mainly on the mountain bike?
Yeah.
Okay.
No one here, like some of the kids do some like gravel stuff, but really mountain bike is the main
thing. Okay. Is the main thing. But is it the enduro or the XC?
XC.
XA.
Okay. I don't really like, I actually sold my enduro bike, so I don't even have an enduro bike anymore.
Okay.
I don't really like do any of that much anymore.
Right.
Like, I don't even go jump my bike that often. Mm. But yeah, it's definitely more towards the XC side of that.
The and then how's the cross scene out here?
There's not one.
Weird.
Like we put on that race here and we had a few like weeknight races. There'd be like 20 people that came out, but yeah, there's not really a scene.
Do you think that's something that'll build if over time, or do you think it's just not the place for it?
I don't think it's really the place for it. Like,
I mean, people, they brought the World Cup to Fayetteville.
Yeah. Which was weird. Cause it's like people came and watched, but no one wanted to like continue that.
Interesting.
So it's like a lot of people like to do the cool thing around here, which mountain biking's the cool thing.
Well, now
so
they're no getting really told wants it's the to gravel try
something
thing.
New. Yeah.
Now it's becoming the gravel thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going towards gravel
and off the trails.
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh. The, and then y'all hosted a race out here this year and it was actually part of the Oklahoma series.
Yep.
Yeah. How was that?
It was good. That actually had a pretty good turnout, but it was a lot of like just people curious and bikes. It wasn't there wasn't really any juniors like my age that came out. Like me and Isaiah had a good race, but
yeah,
there wasn't really any local juniors that came out to it.
Gotcha. All right. So let's talk about some of your fun races that you've done because you've done some cool ones.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, before we get into your races, let's talk about your job that you recently had. Was that your first job?
Which one?
Well, at Allied.
Yeah, it was like my first real job.
Big kid job.
First real job.
Yeah. So you got to work at Allied. Was it just a summer job?
I'm still working.
You're still there?
Yep.
Okay. So what all have you, what tasks have you done there?
I've done a lot. Uh-huh. So I started off in the sanding booth, like hand sanding bikes. And then I moved to the presses, which is like the molds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I worked those two for most of the summer, just like helping out in different areas. And then recently my main job is running, like there's a sanding robot there and I run that and stuff.
Do you love it?
Yeah. It's fun working there.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like your dad hooked me up one time when I came out and I got to go walk through it. I mean, I've never seen a factory.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, like anything like that, especially.
Uh-huh.
Man, it is so freaking cool.
Yeah. It's overwhelming for sure. Now that I'm there, it feels a lot smaller, but when I first started working there, I'm like, oh my gosh, this place is huge.
It's amazing how much work it takes to make a frame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all the supplies that goes into that, it's crazy.
Yeah. And it all seems like so much easier now that I've worked there for a while. Cause it's like, I've kind of like helped with everything. I just like, I'm that person when someone like needs extra help, they come and ask me.
Yeah.
I don't have like a designated job.
It's just fill in wherever it's needed, which that's actually more fun.
Yeah. It's cool. Cause I kind of get to learn everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You boot the old man out and take his position at some point.
I don't know.
Do you think that he's
my boss right now. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah. You better be nice. He's in the other room. You're good. Do you think you want to stay doing something in the bike industry?
Yeah, definitely. Like my goal is to go pro in bike racing and make my living off of that. But, yeah, I definitely want to stay in the bike industry.
After that, do you see yourself like after it, say the pro career works out and you get to do that. And at some point it's over, you know, at 35 or 40 or whatever it ends up being. Do you see yourself wanting to do like a gravel? I mean, who knows what's going to be around at that point, but a gravel privateer kind of vibe, or do you want to go back into working like in a shop or like in a factory, like how you're doing now? Like, what do you see happening long term, or what's the goal long term after your, say everything works out on the pro career?
I haven't thought about it a ton, but I've always kind of had in the back of my mind, I'd like to be a coach one day, maybe.
And, well, that's a perfect lead in. Cause you guys were helping with, bike school of Bentonville. Is that what it's called?
Uh-huh.
This past couple of years, and you were coaching juniors and stuff like that. How did you enjoy that?
It was fun. It was like working with little kids. So it was really cool taking them out on trails and just like getting to pass on the knowledge I have to them.
How old?
I worked with pretty much every age. So starting with like 5 to 6 to 10.
Okay. Well, I mean, I asked you for tips whenever we started, so I'm probably in a Bentonville 10-year-old skills range. So I will take all the knowledge and help I can get. I mean, that's such a need, and it's going to continue to grow out here. So I think it's going to be huge. You want to continue to do like the skills thing, or you want to do like training plans and all that kind of stuff too?
I probably like training plans. Like I could definitely see like doing like one-on-one stuff maybe, but more like training plans and
get
stuff
into all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you plan on going to college, or do you want to try to race?
It's not in my sights right now.
Yeah.
It's not what
it's all in on the bike stuff. So getting into the races, well, you pointed out, and it's a great one. I feel like it's going to be a great, thing to talk about since we're talking about mountain biking. Did the old, 24 hours in Old Pueblo. You guys did it as a team.
Yeah.
And was it five person team? Four person team. I don't remember what it
Five.
Is. Five. Five. And your dad was part of the team.
Yep.
Yep. You guys went out and had a pretty good day.
Uh-huh.
How many miles did you guys ride?
I have no idea. I know I rode like 40 to 50, but I don't.
By yourself. Yeah. And everybody, did y'all take, and it's basically 24 hours, same course, whoever rides the most miles wins, essentially. And you guys won.
Yep.
Which is ridiculous to win that race.
Uh-huh.
Did your dad win it with Malott one time?
I don't know.
I feel like him and Troy and then went out there, but I don't remember if they won or not.
I don't remember if they won, but they went out there.
Yeah. How was that experience?
It was really cool.
Was that your first 24 hour race?
Yes.
What'd you think about it?
It wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be.
Really?
But I was doing a 5-person team, so I had like 3-4 hours in between each.
How did y'all do it? Lap. Just one lap at a time?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it was super fun. It was.
How long was the lap?
Right at an hour for me, pretty much.
Yeah. Gotcha. Is it fast or technical, or how is it?
It is like super flat, pretty much. There's like a little bit of climbing, but it's pretty much just flat, like pedaling all out.
Mm.
It's like dodging the cactus. It's fun though.
No techie. It's just corners.
Yeah.
And there, like, isn't there like the final, like little drop hill kind of sketchy?
Yeah, that's probably like the only technical bit to it.
Uh-huh.
And it's really not that bad. It's just like going down in the dark, but just like a little rock roll down. And then there was like a little like rock on the left side you could jump. Mm. So I was like jumping that and everyone was going crazy.
Even in the middle of the night?
Yeah. Well, it was just like flat dirt on the other side. So I'm just like hoping there's not like a rock or something all of a sudden there. But
do you, how was riding in the middle of the night? How did you like that?
Well, it's kind of weird because you're like just waking up, so you're like foggy the first half lap.
Mm-hmm.
But like once you get going, it's like you always have that like thing in your head, like, oh, I'm going to turn this corner and something's going to be standing there. So like half the lap, you're like kind of nervous, and then you start getting tired, so you stop caring about that. But it was fun. Like,
you
it
liked
was just,
it?
Yeah.
You ever ride at night ever?
I used to ride at night quite a bit because like when I would go coach at bike school, I would ride home in the dark, but coming home from school, I used to get out at 3:55. So, and like this time of year, I would have to go ride out.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of ride. I mean, road bike and all that kind of stuff. Gravel at night, it's super fun. I've only done it twice and it's like really, really entertaining and fun, enjoyable. Yeah. But man, mountain biking dark, I don't like it.
Me either.
I feel like I'm on the edge of hurting myself at all times.
That's not what I'm scared of. Like,
it's scary.
I'm just scared of stuff out there.
Me too. Oh, like, I will admit that in a heartbeat.
I never feel like I'm like that scared of the dark, but like when I go out there and you hear a noise and you're like, so I ended up just putting both headphones in and just riding as hard as I could the whole time. So I'm like,
I'm scared of all things. I'm scared of being out there in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, what is out here watching me? Cause I can't see it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, always scared. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm going to clip a tree or I'm going to go off something.
Uh-huh.
I did the 24 hour at Paladuro one year.
Yeah.
And I did a lap when it was like almost sunset. Then I went back out for another lap. And of course you've been riding at that time for 12 hours or 10 hours. So you're kind of screwed up anyways, but I almost went off one of the edges and I'm like, nope, we're done. I'm going to bed. Like it's not worth it.
Out there, it wasn't too bad though, cause there's like a stream of lights. Mm. But the one thing I remember riding in the dark the most is there was like a ton of dead mice. Like
weird.
On the trail, like you would just see a bunch of them.
Because people kept running over them.
Yeah. There's probably like 40 towards the end.
You want to go out and do the 24 hour solo?
No, never.
Never.
I won't say never, but I don't.
Highly doubt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you do it? Can you do like 2-person team or 3-person?
Yeah, you can. I think there's a 2 and a 3, but I don't know. I think 5. Right now 3 would be the.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want to do 2.
Yeah.
You would have to do like 2 or 3 laps each.
If it's pretty sad.
It was nice being able to go to bed for like 2-3 hours.
Yeah. Cause that's a huge help.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, let's see, after that, you guys, what other races did I have? I feel like there was another race I was going to ask you about. You've done a couple national championships.
Uh-huh.
Any of them that you want to talk about? Well, I remember watching one. It was super muddy. That was a couple years ago, I think.
Yeah, that was probably Washington.
I think so.
Yeah.
It was like crazy muddy.
Uh-huh.
I watched that one online. And then this year, how did it go this year?
This year was a tough race. Like,
where was that?
It was in Louisville.
Okay.
Going into it, I felt really good. Like, I could have got top five for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I got two laps in and rolled a tubular and ended up running like half a mile to get to the pit.
That's
so I was just like, my race was over. Yeah. There's nothing to do.
Did you guys travel and do a whole lot of big races this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How did those go?
It went good. Some of the UCI races, I just had like bad luck, just like little mistakes and stuff, and ended up missing UCI points. But I got a few, like six and top 10 stuff. So,
well, and that's the thing that I learned from your dad and Malat whenever they were kind of chasing that national championship dream. Like getting a point in the UCI is harder than anything.
Yeah. And this year was really hard because I would say there's 20 kids my age and we're all like super close in speed. So it's like one mistake and you're out of the group.
And what place do you got to finish usually to get a point?
Top 10.
Top 10 gets a point.
For junior, it's top 10 always.
Okay. And you got to, in points, determine your starting position.
Yeah.
And that's everything in cross for people that don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then how many points did you end up with this year?
16, I think.
Okay. So you would get a decent starting position.
I was like third row. Okay. I didn't get great points, but I missed a lot of like the early season races, like up in New England area when like a lot of kids got points up
there. Do those points carry over or do they lose them?
You lose them, I believe. Okay. I'm going to U23, so I'm going to lose them. Mm. But if you stay in junior, I think you keep them.
Okay. And juniors only goes up to 18?
Yeah.
Okay. So next year is U23.
Uh-huh.
Oof.
Yeah.
Stepping up with the big boys.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So let's talk about the whole reason we want to sit down and chat about this is you got to do like a trip of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go to Europe and race cross. Is it end of December? Is that when it was?
Yeah, end of December into
first of January. Yeah. How did that come about? How did you get on the team to go to Europe?
So that was kind of my goal the whole year. That's why I was chasing UCI points, is I wanted to make the world's team.
Mm-hmm.
And then we knew about this trip. It was with Eurocross Academy. So I was like,
is that an American group?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It's led by Jeff Proctor and Roger Asphalm, I believe is how you pronounce his name. But I was chasing points and just like trying to get results and stuff to get selected for that. And I ended up getting selected to go with them.
So, and how do you get selected for that? Is just based on points and performance?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not really quite sure.
And how many kids get to go?
There was six boys and six girls.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then was it just like a phone call?
Yeah. Well, you send in an application and then, I don't know. My mom like acted like I didn't make it. And then like, she like, it was a weird setup. Like I opened an early present and then it was like the letter that I had made it in.
So how'd that feel?
It was good.
Yeah.
Cause I actually had asked her earlier that day. I'm like, any emails back? Cause we were like, it got delayed like 2 weeks. Cause they like, just like hadn't made the selections, I guess. And I asked her and she's like, I would just focus on nationals. Cause it was next week. And she was like, I don't think you made it. And then I opened that present that night and it said I had made it.
You got it. That's pretty cool.
I was super excited.
Yeah. No kidding. So what was the trip like? I mean, as far as just, you've never been to Europe before.
Mm-mm.
So what was the trip like just getting to Europe and like the cultural differences? And then I want to get into how the race stuff went.
Well, it started off, I had never been on a plane before.
Oh, so, you've never even been on a plane?
Yeah. So I was a little nervous about that, but that's really
a big first step.
Yeah. Yeah, it really wasn't that bad. Like my sister like made it sound like it'd be scary, but like taking off and stuff was fun. But I really didn't get to experience Belgium as much as like I wanted to, because it was a lot of just like we were racing every other day. So it was like going to the race, going back to the house.
Gotcha.
But just getting to see everything there was really cool. It was like it's every town is like kind of old timey. They each like they have like a huge castle. Mm-hmm. Like it's every town does.
That's awesome. So. Did you know the other 11 kids that went?
I heard like two of them, but we weren't like, we all kind of became friends over there.
Yeah. Was it, have you, do you stay in touch with them now?
Yeah.
That's cool. So how long were you there before you started racing?
So we got there, we had one day where nobody raced, and then the next day was Mole. So the girls raced there, but we didn't because it was elite only. Mm. So I was there for 2 days, that's 3 days, and then I started racing.
Dude, that's not long. Did you have jet lag?
I don't really know. I feel like I was just like so excited. I didn't pay attention to anything. Like,
oh, you would know if you had it. I've had it one time and you know when you have it.
Yeah. I was like kind of tired the first day, but I was like
just jacked. Yeah.
I just took some melatonin that night and I was out.
Did you get to go ride anywhere else besides the race courses?
We rode around town and stuff, and then we got to go to Lowenhout, the forest.
How was that?
It was super fun.
Was it? Was it everything you thought it would be?
Yeah.
Definitely. So for people that don't know what that is, explain what it is.
It's basically where the world champions and all the best cyclocross racers go to train. It's like mountain bike trails, but like for cross bikes, and then huge sand pit areas.
Mm. What makes it different from a mountain bike trail and a kind of a cross trail?
it's way smoother. And then it's like
almost like the All American Trail here, except through the trees.
Yeah. And then it's like, there's features along the way, like stairs and like logs to hop over and stuff.
That's cool.
Like steep, like punchy, like Spen Hill and stuff.
How many miles of trail is it?
I don't really know. We didn't ride a ton of the trail, but I would say there's like 8 out there.
Like
it's kind of a loop. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Uh-huh. Does he have his training facility there?
Spen?
Uh-huh.
He has the ball course, but that's all I know of.
Okay. I think I've seen some of that stuff on GCN or something like that. Uh-huh. I've seen some of his videos on that. That dude's a freak.
Mm-hmm.
Watching him ride some of the stuff that he rides is like freaking wild. Yeah. Uh-huh. People just need to YouTube him.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So going to your first race, what was that like? How many races did you do? Let's start with that.
I did 6, I think.
Okay.
But the first race, so it's kind of like a B race. So like a local race for them, but like everyone looked intimidating. Like everyone looks so intimidating, but it was funny. Cause like, I don't think they dislike Americans over there, but they're just like, oh, Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like pre-riding and stuff.
Let's put them in their place.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was like pre-riding and stuff. Everyone just staring at you, which like, I thought it was funny because I would just like talk to random people, which everyone knows American or English over there.
Uh-huh. Were they friendly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of them were friendly. There was a few that were like teenagers and stuff over there. I don't think they liked us, but, like teenagers on the streets. Mm. The racers were all super nice.
Gotcha.
But it started off, it was off of UCI points. So the whole front row is Americans.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I got a front row call up.
Holy cow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then we started off and it was like there was two Belgian kids that went off the front, but then it was just like Americans running the race pretty much. Mm. So it was on a dirt bike course, which all dirt bike courses over there are like super sandy, but it had dumped rain. So the sand was like the thickest stuff you could imagine. So like it took me like half the race just to figure out how to get through it.
Mm.
And then I ended up battling for third with a BJC kid. So he ended up getting me. I got fourth, but
your first race in Europe and you got fourth.
Yeah. It was like, I got fourth, but it was a smaller race, but
yeah,
it was definitely like the course was way different and it was all really cool.
But you had to been like, if somebody had told you you'd finished top 5 before you started, you would have taken the heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like I definitely didn't expect it. Like even starting front row, I'm like, yeah, these kids are probably going to blow past us. Uh-huh.
And everybody was about your age?
Yeah. Okay. It was a 17, 18.
Okay. And then how many days off till your next race?
1.
Okay. And then how'd the next one go?
The next one was about the same. It was a little bit bigger of a race.
Different race course.
Different race course. Okay. The first one was in Netherlands and the second one was in Belgium.
That's but so cool.
It was super narrow. Like everything was like, the start was probably like, supposed to be like 4 or 5 people wide, but it was 8 people wide.
Mm.
And this one we had dead last call up because they were going off their point standings over there, I guess. So we had nothing. So we were all like last row.
Mm.
There's 60, 70 kids.
Wow.
And it was the narrowest course I've ever raced. And I was just like passing people the entire race. That was pretty much all it was, but I ended up getting 16th there.
Wow. That's great from a last place start.
Yeah. It was hard to get up there for sure. Cause there was like three sections to pass on, but.
So you just have to like, when you got an opening, you just got to gun it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Man.
And it's like everyone else is gunning it. So you just have to like put that little extra dig in. Yeah. But that course had like these two hills and it was like a rut you had to follow that was super bumpy. And if you came out of that rut, you're going straight into the canal. Mm. There's like a canal right there. There's nothing like stopping you from going in the canal. So it was like, you stay to that rut. And if you go out, you're going into the canal.
That's and awesome.
I got close once because me and a kid went down it side by side and he wasn't in the rut. So he like bumped me at the bottom. Mm. But yeah, I didn't.
Did he go?
No. Mm. I think he might've crashed, but he didn't go in the canal.
Did you see anybody go in the canal? That'd have been awesome.
I didn't see anybody.
That'd go be great canal. GoPro footage. No. Huh. So, and then you had six races total.
Yeah.
Okay. Your third race on, it was kind of the same thing. You started in the back or how did this work?
Yeah. So that was Zolder, which was the biggest one we ended up doing on the old F1 track. And that one, I started like 80th, which that one was like
fields a world are massive.
Cup. Yeah. That one was like a World Cup level. So it was like a lot of faster kids.
Gotcha.
But I started pretty far back on that one just because I didn't have that great of UCI points. Like most Americans were like second or third row.
Okay.
But yeah, that one was a lot harder, which I didn't feel the best there, but it was like just a ton of pedaling, like a ton of open sections. But then it was also like some of the hardest, deepest downhills ever.
Were you like getting fatigued at this point with all the travel and racing 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row? Were you just like wiped out or are you just still running on adrenaline?
I
didn't feel
like
it,
but like, I probably was because at this point I was like a little tired at that race. I could tell I wasn't 100%. That race was like really hard though because there was like a ton of pinch points. So it was like the whole first lap. I mean, I bet top 20 got a 2 minute head start on me.
Golly.
So I ended up getting like 53rd there or something. Okay. Definitely not my best
Your
result.
Your best race, yeah.
It was result definitely didn't play out how my race went.
So. Yeah. You felt like you raced way better than a 53rd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it normal for them to have that many races? Do they race like?
Yeah, I think so.
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely were doing more cause we were there for a week and a half, but like, I think there's races like that all the time.
So it's like Tuesday and there's a big freaking cross race going on. Do they have many other races? Is it just cross? I mean, mountain biking and any of that
I
stuff?
I really don't know if there's like mountain biking. I know there's mountain biking in Europe, but like in Belgium and stuff, I don't know.
It's mainly like. Just cross.
Yeah. Probably road too.
Yeah. And those kids are just dialed because it's all they do.
Really? Like they were strong, but their skill did not impress me. Like those kids, like riding behind them, which that's what I did. Like the first like 10 years of me riding a bike, just messing around doing skills.
Right.
But like, yeah, they were not as skilled as I thought they would be.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think? Did that make you feel more confident in your future?
Yeah, definitely. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
I can hang in there.
There's that questionable period from U23 to Elite where I'm like, are they just training or are they taking some stuff? So it's like, that's where it's like, you're kind of like just funnel into the how all the other Americans do. But like right now, it's like the level between U.S. juniors and European juniors isn't that different.
Interesting.
We have David Thompson. He's like fifth in UCI World Cup standings right now.
Mm.
So he's right there. He got second at one of the World Cups.
Do you think it's they just start racing harder earlier, so they're just like a little bit of ahead?
I don't know really what it is. Like, I don't want to say anything.
Or there's
doping,
just so many
but
of them.
Like, I feel like there's some.
But there's so many of them that. I mean, when you have in the U.S., you go to these big UCI races and there's, I don't know, how many kids in your races? 30?
Yeah.
So 30 kids, I mean, that's not very big, deep pool. And you go over there and there's 80.
Yeah. Like it definitely could be them just like getting faster off one another. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you just got more
really
people
know what
to
they
choose
do.
From.
I don't know what their secret sauce is.
But they have it.
Faster. Yeah. They have it.
Netherlands and Belgium, they freaking have it when it comes across.
Uh-huh.
What was the biggest difference in the style of racing between the U.S. and Europe? Did you know, like, was the courses significantly different?
The courses were a lot different. They were just like some of them, like the bigger races were super wide open, but like the smaller races were like super tight, like a lot more single track type stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Was the style of racing much different?
What do you mean?
As far as like how they attack and how they like ride certain sections.
Yeah, I didn't really notice that.
It seemed all pretty much the
same. Like, everyone does kind of file into the same line, which, like, that's how I made a lot of my passes, is, like, just, like, how some stuff's super wide, and, like, that single track stuff, you can go off of it, like, it's not marked.
Mm-hmm.
So, I made a lot of passes just, like, getting unique on my lines and stuff.
And everybody else just kind of follows just the leader.
Followed that main line, yeah.
Interesting. That is kind
of
interesting.
Yeah, which I think I picked up on a lot of that from my dad. Like, I think a lot of people race like that, but my dad has always done that. So I think I just picked up on that.
Did you feel like what was the biggest takeaway that you had from racing over there?
From in those races, you can't stop. Like, you can't funnel, or you can't, like, settle into a pace.
How long was your race?
45 minutes. Okay. Or I think they're all 45.
Okay.
Like, you can't, like, settle in though. You have to keep going the whole time.
What is it that you feel like you need to work on now that you've come back from that experience?
I don't really know if there's, like, anything specific. Like, I definitely just, like, need to improve my speed, but, like...
Like, your top end?
Yeah, just, like, acceleration, like, punchy stuff. Like, yeah. I feel like I was a little behind on that.
Your training this year going into that, was that something that you worked on, or was it something that you just kind of did, like, an all-around training plan, and that was just kind of like, that's something I just need to improve on?
I was super out of shape going into this past year, so... A lot of it was just, like, getting in shape. Like, I still don't think going into Europe, like, I don't think I was at the shape I could have been.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be a lot better next year. But
did it give you some motivation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I was in good shape, but I'm like, I'm not anywhere I could be.
Right.
Like, I knew I wasn't. So that definitely gives me motivation for next year.
It's good. You're in good shape, but not, you need to be in, like,
yeah,
great shape.
Yeah.
For that.
Which I knew that going into it, but. I knew I could do good enough to, like, get some results I wanted, but I feel like I definitely could have been further up.
So the whole trip in itself do you feel like it was a good experience?
Yeah.
Like, worth doing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you guys get to do anything else fun besides race?
We went to a few pastries or bakeries, but that was about it.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good. And everything was super cheap over there.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you could go buy, like, a coffee and a pastry for, like, €3.
Oh,
and
nice.
And be, like, $8 over here.
That's,
like,
awesome.
Euros and dollars are pretty close
Pretty close, think, yeah. So that's awesome.
Everything was super cheap.
Do you see, like, that you would have to move to Europe to race?
I don't think you have to, but I think if you wanted to go over there and you had a place to stay, I think you could go over there for a cross season and get a lot better. Because, like, the first few races we did, like, the B races, it was, like, €10 to register. And, like, the bigger ones were, like, I don't know, like, 40 when it'd be like 80 or 90 over here probably.
Right.
So,
and everything's right there, so you don't have to travel.
Yeah. Like, the furthest drive we did from where we were at was probably an hour, hour 15.
Okay.
Like, everything was super close.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So is that the goal to Europe?
I don't know if I want to, like, go over there permanently, but I definitely want to make more trips back over.
Yeah. So is there more programs that will allow you to do that in the U23 section or not?
I think it's really just, like, the USA team. So,
and what do you got to do to make that? Do you know?
Pretty much make the world's team. You have to get, like,
just top UCI points.
Yeah.
And then, so going into next year, we're in almost February of 24. What's your schedule look like this year?
I'm planning to do a full UCI XC mountain bike season. So, I want to make the world's team for that.
On the mountain bike side?
Yeah.
When does that start? Pretty quick.
March. So yeah, that's my
plan. So you took a little bit of a break and now you're firing back up?
Yeah.
And coach? You have a coach?
My dad coached me all last season, but I'm going to be starting with Grant Holicky with Forever Endurance.
Okay.
So he's like Eric Bruner, Scott Funkson's coach. He's really good about, like, getting people from the junior U23 to elite and without burnout. So
that's the goal. So, and then how much we have to travel for the UCI mountain bike?
There's quite a bit of travel, but it's not as bad. Cause, like, we have Fayetteville here, which is one of the biggest races. So
I came to that last year, man. It's super cool.
Yeah. It is a really cool race. There's a ton of people that come.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely, like, quite a bit of travel, but I don't feel like it's quite as bad.
Yeah. Will you do that with some friends or some, or be, like, you and the family loading up and heading out? Yeah,
I'm going to be solo this year. I was trying to get on some teams, but I just didn't get it done.
Yeah. How do you like that? The way, cause I've had this conversation with a couple people, the way that teams and it seems like such a broken system to me. Like from the outside looking in, not growing up in this world.
Yeah.
It's a terrible system. Like the teams just rely on sponsors, and the sponsors change all the time because the teams burn out the money and they don't get a return. Uh-huh. There's got to be a better way to do it. Nobody does it, and everybody does it the exact same way. So being an athlete trying to get onto a team, how is it politics? Is it just, do you got to know the right person? Is it you got to, or you just got to be an absolute rock star athlete?
I feel like there's a lot of programs that are like, they say they're development teams, but it's more like we want the fastest people. Mm-hmm. But, I think some of it's knowing people, some of it's having the money to pay for it. But like, if you have the speed, there's no doubt you could get on whatever team you want. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal.
What do you think it will take for you to get on a team after this year? Just results?
Yeah, pretty much. Like I took like such a big break from like competitive racing. Like I feel like people knew who I was kind of from junior, just cause I always like was up there. Mm-hmm. But when I took that break, no one knew who I was this year, mm-hmm. which I definitely feel like I caught some eyes, but not enough to really get picked up.
You need another year of good results.
Yeah.
Having your sister take, the step that she's taken the past few years, is that motivated you or changed your outlook on it at all, hearing her experiences and watching kind of what she's doing?
It definitely makes like, it makes it seem more possible, like seeing her get on a team where she gets paid, and mm-hmm. it makes it all seem and feel a lot more possible.
Yeah. Okay. So the next step is UCI mountain bike, mm-hmm. and then falls into cross.
Yep.
And the cross is a fall winter sport. When does it start? Like,
September.
Yeah, maybe? That's what I was thinking.
Late September.
Okay. And then you'll do the UCI stuff there and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you continuing to work at Allied?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And somehow go to school and all of that as well?
Yeah, I have internship with my school. So I get out at 12:08 and get school credits to go to.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. I get paid to go to class pretty much.
Freaking bomb. You're kind of living the pro cyclist gig already.
Yeah, trying to kind of at that point where I have to start doing like a professional training load.
So. How much what do you know kind of what your training load's going to be?
I don't. I'm starting with this new coach. So like,
when do you guys start together?
We actually just did. So
okay. Nice.
Yeah, he just put stuff in today. So it's going to be just kind of like base stuff for a while. But yeah, it's all new. I'm not 100% sure.
Gotcha. Still Bunny Hop Wizard?
I changed Instagram, make it a little more professional, but yeah, people can call me that if they want to.
Okay. So now it's just your name?
Yeah.
Well, that's boring.
My email's still that. I got stuck with that.
Still do YouTube?
I don't. I might pick it up at some point again.
You're going to have to get the sponsors looking at you.
It's all Instagram now.
I know. You're going to have to bring the Bunny Hop Wizard back out of retirement. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you sitting down. I know you thought it'd be hard to fill some time, but we talked for almost an hour.
Yeah.
So is there any stories or races that you want to talk about before we wrap up?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, if you've listened to any episodes, you know that we do the yard sale. So I almost yard sailed it today. Like three times. So favorite piece of equipment under $100?
I don't know the name of it, but...
Oh, well, let's be honest. Okay, your dad just chimed in and said you never paid for anything, so...
Well, yeah, but...
That your dad's paid $100 for. What's your favorite piece? Let's just go favorite piece of equipment.
I would say, I'm going to do under $100 because I don't know what the name of it is, but it's probably my saddlebag. Oh. It has like the boa strap on it, mm-hmm. and I don't know. It's super nice. I like it a lot. Okay.
Hardest event you've ever done?
I want to say something other than Watch Salt Challenge because I feel like everyone says that on your podcast, but I feel like that's got to be it.
That was a brutal one. I still haven't done it yet. Favorite place you've ever ridden?
Probably Europe.
Like, was it the forest? Was that your favorite? Hardest workout you've ever done?
I don't really know. Like, I feel like I've definitely had some workouts that were more like mentally challenging because I just like wasn't there that day, but I don't really know a specific one.
You can't say Allied because you can't be a company man. So what's your dream bike? It could be cross or mountain. It doesn't matter. Or road. It doesn't matter.
I really like Specialized bike. So probably like a Specialized Epic.
Epic. I like that. I had a couple of other ones. Let me see. Bucket list race. If you could pick any race, it doesn't matter. Just say you're at that level of whoever, whatever race it is, what would it be?
Probably just world championships for mountain bike or cross.
Which one? Okay, let's say this. Going pro, now people are crossing over and doing a little of everything. Uh-huh. If you were going to pick one discipline, would it be XC or would it be cross?
Cross.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, I can't really say because I haven't done like a UCI mountain bike season yet, mm-hmm. but probably like cross. I like the racing more.
Okay. You gave me advice when we were here earlier, but what would be advice for not a kid rider, but a new rider in cross and then a new rider in mountain biking?
Just have fun. Go like mess around. Like, don't take it too serious at first. Just go have fun and figure it out.
Same for cross and mountain biking?
Yeah.
Okay. If you were going to give one technical skill for mountain biking, what would it be? Or technical thing to work on?
Just like flowing, like not trying to plow through everything, just mm-hmm. like taking it a step back and just like learning to flow through all this stuff.
Okay. I like it. Yeah. Cause that's something I definitely have to work on. Cause when your dad took, me and Saxby to the pump track, watching you ride the pump track and then watching Saxby and me ride the pump track, completely different things. We look like stiff mannequins and you guys look like noodles. It's totally different. So, Right. Thanks for sitting down and doing this.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. And good luck, man. I can't wait to follow the career.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.